You're looking for Christmas. Christmas Day material. Let's look at verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul's talking about spiritual gifts and all the spiritual gifts. I think he names 9 spiritual gifts found in chapter 12. And then he addresses the audience here, the church, in verse 27. He says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for all the spiritual gifts and how they were used to build the church and how they may still be used to strengthen and edify. Father God, we ask that you would just bless us on this Christmas day. But Father, most of all, bless us to earnestly covet the more excellent gifts this Christmas. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, and when he spoke to the church of Corinth, it was a letter of correction because they had a lot of issues in the Corinth church. And if you go through each chapter of First Corinthians, you will see each chapter starts off with Paul addressing a problem area where there was some misunderstanding or there was conflict. So we find here in verse number 31, and I'm going to spend time with verse number 31 because I want us as a church to earnestly, and the Word of God says to earnestly covet earnestly the best gifts.
Yes,
sir. And I think a lot of times we covet earnestly the gifts that are listed, the miraculous gifts, without first having the earnest gifts,
yes,
or the best gifts. Amen. Amen. Verse number 31. But covet. And before I go, I'll explain what that word means. And that word covet means a strong desire for something. Okay? It means to crave after something. It means to long for something. So it's something that you really feel like you can't do without. Okay? Charles Spurgeon, when he was talking to young preachers, and he would tell them, and one of the questions they would ask, "How do I know I'm called?" And he would say, "Because you covet to preach and to teach and to learn, and there's nothing else more important than that." And he said, "If you have anything more important than in your life than preaching or learning or studying or seeking knowledge of God, then you probably need to seek that." And that's good advice. And I talk to young ministers, and I usually give them that. But Paul goes on to say not only that. He says not only for us to covet earnestly, and that word earnestly, put something down on it. You know, that's a business term for, you know, you want to buy something and you're serious about it. You put something down on it, okay? You let them know you're serious. You go to a car dealership and you're trying to cut a deal for a car, and you know, let them know you're serious. You give them something. Say, "I'm serious about this." Or to buy a house. You want to buy a house. That person's not going to go back to that owner of the house and try to cut a deal for you if you're not serious. They say, "Well, they put down some earnest money." Okay? So we want to covet earnestly the best.
And the best means, that word means top or the finest or the greatest. So you want the best. You want the best. I believe you need to have these in place before you covet maybe the gift of teaching. Okay? A lot of us, a lot of folks I know, they say they have these other gifts, but they haven't the first ones in place. Okay? And a lot of times we covet after a spiritual gift and we haven't the more excellent ones in place first. And that word excellent means outstanding. And what God done, and we celebrate on Christmas, was outstanding. It was outstanding. And another word for outstanding would be, it was tremendous. It was tremendous. Paul's talking to the members of the church. And to use the illustration, many of us are living homes, and think of everything that's in your house that's plugged in. Think of everything that's in your house that's plugged in. And you can start in the kitchen and think about your toaster and your microwave and your maybe electric can opener. Then you go into the living room, you have lamps and different things plugged in. And in the family room, you may where your TV is at, you may have your TV. You may have your phone charging. Most of us have our phone charging in certain areas. Phone gets low, we plug it in. But the key in Paul saying that all of us are members, but all of us have to be plugged into the same source. And the source of that is God's love and what God has done. And it's sad when you see folks trying to do ministry and when they're not plugged in.
Amen.
And they don't have any power. They don't have power to do ministry, but they're trying to do it and they're not plugged in. How do you know they're not plugged in? The Bible said, be holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation means behavior. And your behavior ought to let people know you're plugged in or not plugged in. Amen. Somebody say amen. I know what you're talking about, preacher. I'm running some Christians that ain't plugged in. It's not plugged in. Trying to do ministry. Ever ran into one? Not plugged in. Galatians says that if a brother is caught or fall in an ark, those of you who are plugged in. Okay, those of you that are in the spirit. There's no sense if you go into a brother or a sister who have fallen and you try to minister to them and you're not plugged in. Okay? You're not connected to the source. Okay? And again, Cindy unplugs a lot of stuff. In our house, she read somewhere in a science magazine, electrical magazine. I don't know where she read it, but things that are plugged in are drawing energy all the time. So a lot of times I'll put my toaster in the toaster and I'll push it down and I'll go upstairs and I come back. It's okay. I'm like, oh, okay, Cindy, you got the toaster. The toaster ain't plugged in. It ain't working. Paul is saying here, he's going to show you a more excellent way, and that more excellent way is found in the very next chapter. Paul says in chapter 13, and everything resonates from a love for God. Okay? You can do all you want to do, but if you don't have what? Love.
Amen.
Everything comes out of the love that we have for God. And I would say the first, even though I have it as number 5 on my list, and I'm going to drop down to it. Love starts the whole process. Okay? Love starts the whole process. So when we look at what God has done, and we look at His miraculous work, we have to start off with His love. John 3:16, we've been talking about that quite a bit lately here at Christian Bible Baptist. But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in Him, whosoever trusts in Him, whosoever commit their life to Him. We don't want to run past that word believe because a lot of people do. And it is, well, I believe John 3:16, but do you really believe in what He has done? And the love that we have for the things of God, we'll always start with our love for what God has done. What has He done? Let's talk about some of these gifts. I'm not going to be long. I only have 7. And really, I know some of you say, well, I have seven. But let's see what he has done. And you got to stick with me here. Let's look at Jesus' first gift. He gave himself. He gave himself. 1 John 4 and 10 said, herein is love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. He sent his son to die for our sins. Okay, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I've gotten so dogmatic about it because I just want to make sure you understand what you're saying when you say Merry Christmas. Okay? It's not the same as when Walmart says it. When you say Merry Christmas, you're happy because God has sent a Savior into the world to die for our sins. That's what it means when we say Merry Christmas. You know, Kirk Franklin had it right. Jesus is the reason for the season. How about it? First John 4:10 says, look at how Revelation 1 and 5 says. It says, In front of Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, how? In his own blood. In his own blood. And when I think about his own blood, I think about him being scourged. I think about how his back was ripped open and tore open by that whip that those Roman soldiers whipped. And that blood came out. That was powerful blood. That was, as Peter calls it, precious blood. It was precious blood. When they slammed that crown of thorns on his head, and folks, those thorns were probably an inch long, maybe 2 inches long, and they went into his head. And when that blood came down, running down his face, that was precious blood. That was sin-forgiving blood. That was life-preserving blood of Paul. Paul goes on to say in Titus chapter 2, he says, looking for that blessed hope. Titus 2:14, that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What did he do? What did he do, Paul? Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And I look out here on a day, on a Sunday, and I see folks come to God's house. I see folks that are zealous.
Amen.
Feel like they need to be in God's house and hear God's word. And I believe you will be blessed anytime you hear God's word. And they were peculiar. You're not going to be popular. He didn't say a popular people. He didn't say that you were going to be, you know, the most popular kid in class. Okay? And a lot of young people struggle with their faith because in our innermost being, we want to be liked and we want to be popular. Listen, Christianity, if you represent God in a secular world, in a secular school, you are not going to be popular.
Amen.
And if popularity is what you're looking for, then you may need to rethink your Christian walk in faith.
Amen.
Because the world is trying to shove garbage at you all the time.
Amen.
And when you stand, you're going to be mocked and ridiculed. He gave himself. That's a great gift. Here's another gift. He gave his spirit. Now, when I say gave his spirit, or when you hear he gave his spirit, what was Jesus' spirit like? See, some folks want to sit here, and I know I've said it before, we got this doormat Christian as Jesus, this milquetoast Christian. He's soft and he's soft and he's tender and you just run him over. He's just a doormat. That's not the God of the Bible. And then I challenge any of you in here to find one man or woman that God ever used that wasn't a warrior. That wasn't a warrior. You find one. And you can go Joshua, Caleb, Abraham, Isaac. Deborah, Rahab, Ruth, Naomi. And the list goes on and on. And all of her disciples, all who died writing this book, all who died preaching this book. That is a man-made teaching that Jesus Christ was soft. He wasn't. He was a warrior. He was a rebel. He stood. And when he stood against the world, somebody tell me John the Baptist was soft. And Jesus said, of man born of woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist. I tell you what's soft. Going to school and fitting in and being a compromiser and being a class clown and just being what everybody wants you to be. What's soft is being a thug. That's what's soft. Pull one leg, pants leg up and walk around with your pants hanging down. That's what's soft. Be a man.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Be a man committed to the things of God.
Yes, sir.
Be a man committed to loving one woman, your wife. Be a man. What's soft is just being a playboy and running around with as many women as you can.
True.
Be a man. Be married to the same woman 30 years, 40 years. What a man. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Anybody can. Nah. Jesus gave his spirit. And that word here, spirit, be his nature. Now, when you become a Christian, you get the nature of God in you. Okay, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. It's not hard to identify God's people, folks. Okay, because you have this new nature.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that new nature is strength and fortitude and determination. And being an old Western brought up by a father who loved Westerns and John Wayne, we used to call it true grit.
Yeah. Yeah.
True grit. That's what you get when you come to the Lord. You get a Holy Ghost toughness.
All right.
You get a Holy Ghost power that's in you. Listen, when Paul wrote in Romans 8:37 and 8, and all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now we can quote that, but watch this last part of this verse. Listen, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Him that died for us. Through Him that gave us His Spirit when we received Him as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Oh, I can tell. You judgmental. No, I'm not judgmental. I can tell when you got the power of God because the way you handle things. The way you handle adversity, the way you handle different situations that come up in your life will tell me if you got the right stuff.
Amen.
You need to have the right stuff. Paul says this in Philippians, we know it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And when you get the Holy Spirit, when you get the Holy Ghost, you get power, you get fortitude, you get determination.
Amen.
You get true grit.
Yes, sir.
I don't see a lot of it with young believers. So we so fearful of peer group pressure. Somebody say something to us and we just fall into depression and despair. Oh no, that's not biblical. That ain't the man of God. That ain't the Spirit of God operating in a believer's life. You're going to go through. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It's coming. It's coming. The moment you receive Him as Lord, you get power, you get strength. Look at 1 John 3 and 24. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. You want to know another sign that you have the power of God working in you? You have the power to love the unlovable. You have the power to love the difficult. You have what they call in Ephesians 4, that forbearing love. A forbearing love. You've been loved in spite of the circumstances. Because circumstances doesn't affect what's happening inside of you. Circumstances don't affect what God has put in us.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, who and this is his command, now back to John 3:24, that we should believe on his name, on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us this commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abided in us. How? By the Spirit which he hath given us. Let me tell you something. You running around here, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, probably not. You're probably not. You probably got a problem. Because when somebody put a new spirit in you, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. Took my van to the shop, put some new brakes on it. As soon as I hit them, I knew I had new brakes. Like the went through the windshield. You get the new spirit in you, or you get a situation, and then like, well, I didn't respond the same way. I didn't act a fool. I didn't cuss them out. The old me would have. Something new must be happening in me because I didn't respond the same way when they called me fat or ugly or black or too short or whatever. Because that's how the world do.
Yes, sir.
Listen, talk about his spiritual gift. We talk about his love. We talk about himself. We talk about his power that comes into us. How about this one? He gave us the word of truth.
Amen.
How about that spiritual gift? How about asking for that? Father God, give me the word. Give me the word of truth. Give it to me like you gave it to the disciples. Remember in John 6 and 66 through 69. And it says, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walk no more with him. Because Jesus raised the standard.
Amen.
See, what love does is raise the standard. Okay? Bible says love never faileth. So you tell me you love your child. And I'll look at Rita because Mike is here with her. You love him more today than you did the day he was born. Love never faileth. Somebody tell you they love you. And then 2 years later, they tell you they don't love you. They never love you.
Amen.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
You know, I hear folks say, well, I used to go to church every Sunday, but now I don't go. What kind of love is that? I don't know. I used to read the Bible a lot, but I used to love the Word of God, but now I just don't read it as much. Well, you never loved it.
Amen.
Because you're going to read it more and more to the day you leave here.
Amen.
John and Jesus is speaking here. And then it says, Jesus said unto the 12, after all the rest had left, and he was left with 12, he said, will ye go away also?
Yes.
Peter has some great responses in the Bible. He has some great responses. He has some bad ones. Here's going to give you a good one. He said, and then Simon Peter answered him. I don't think Simon Peter raised his hand. I just think Simon Peter said, well, all y'all sitting around here acting like y'all don't know what to say. I'm going to declare myself spokesman for the group. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord. And that's key right there. He answered him, Lord. See, all the ones that left didn't answer Lord. See, he wasn't Lord. They just wanted some bread. They just wanted some excitement. When the excitement started to dwindle down, when the miracle stopped and started ceasing, and Jesus started doing just nothing but teaching, the crowds went away. Okay? So I can fill this place up. If I put it in a paper, put a sign out there, I'm going to raise somebody from the dead. Be a full house. I have a full house in here. Then I have to get one of y'all to act like y'all dead. I get one of y'all to act like y'all dead, lay him up here. And then I'm... But if I just put out there, we're going to be teaching God's word. We're going to be teaching on repentance, on hell, on heaven, and we're going to have a small crowd.
Yeah.
Be right by. Amen. Watch this. He said, where are we going to go? Peter said, where are we going to go?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to go? Peter said this, for thou hast the words
Amen.
Of eternal life.
Man.
The words of eternal life. Now we understand what that means. But you can have the words of eternal life. Many of you do. Many of you know folks that tell you that I have the words of eternal life. I understand the Bible. I know people that tell me, I know what the Bible means. I know what it says. It ain't doing it. Ain't trying to do it. Ain't stepping out on faith. Ain't trying to make no changes in their life. Aren't trusting God for anything. Listen. Why? Because the second part of this verse is critical. Peter says this. He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Don't miss that. But look what he says next. And we believe. And we believe, we trust you, we are sure, he goes on to say, that thou art that Christ.
Amen.
When you see that word art in there, that's the same word, thou art in heaven. Mm-hmm. What Peter is saying here, that we believe that and are sure that thou art the Christ, thou art the God of heaven in the flesh.
Amen.
Listen. And the Son of the living God. How about that? Peter had it all right. That's a great answer. Peter had it all right. That word, he said, thou art the Son of God. Of the living God. Do you accept God's word as true? Do you accept God's word as true? It's true. Whether you accept it or not. And the world may be doing, a whole lot of things. The world is doing a whole lot of things. You know what? But you know what? God's word is true. And the truth will always be the truth. And no matter if anybody's doing it, nobody may be doing it, but it'll still be the truth. And everybody may turn away from it, but guess what? It still doesn't stop it from what? Being the truth.
Amen.
Doesn't stop it. Listen, Jesus gave another gift. And I believe you need to have these. And then we can start seeking them spiritual gifts. Because this is the more excellent way. He said Jesus gave his example. He gave himself to be a pattern or a model. So our models today, and almost a lot of times the model for the young man today is LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Or Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
That's our model today. You walk through JCPenney, sitting there telling me she got a gift card from JCPenney. Everything is for Beyonce. You walk through Macy's, all the clothes is for Beyonce. You see, we got to be careful who we model ourselves after.
Amen.
We got to be careful. Everybody's not sitting here putting Duck Dynasty on a pedestal. Because they came out and said, well, we're against homosexuality. But let me tell you something. You better read what they really believe. Because they have the Church of Christ.
Amen.
And they believe in baptismal regeneration. They believe in works. They don't believe in a lot of the things of the Bible, and they're going to push that down your throat too. There's more to it. You got to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Amen.
The church today, we look at what we see on TV, and a lot of that stuff is almost like we're modeling ourselves after Donald Trump. Jesus is our example.
Amen.
Listen.
Yes, sir.
He's our example. That's what he says in 2 Peter, 1 Peter 2:21. Because he's our example. For even hereunto you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, what? Leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps.
Amen.
Understand that. Some of y'all know that. Some of you don't. It's not fun. It's not fun. Being a Christian, we should have good times, but we're not a fun bunch. We're not looking for fun all the time. I want you to leave here. I want you to know something.
Amen.
I want you to be stronger spiritually. I don't want you to be excited.
Thank you.
Emotional. Emotions change. How many know that?
Yeah.
I felt good. I felt something. Well, you know, I ain't feel nothing. Well, maybe we put some thumbtacks in all the seats. So when you sit down, you feel something. If you come to church and feel something, you ought to come and hear something.
Amen.
Feel good. Look at John 3:15. I like this one. For I have given you an example. How about that? Jesus is speaking here. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. How about that? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. God is our example.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ is our example.
Oh, yeah.
And his example was that we ought to love one another.
Yeah.
And we ought to be willing to live sacrificial lives. John 2:6, and I know I quote a lot of these scriptures, but the scripture speaks and it stands on its own. He that say he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Come on now. Let me read that again. Let me slow it down. He that say he abideth in him. The first thing, I live for Christ. Christ is everything to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where I go, Christ goes. I take Christ everywhere with me. And it says, and he that say he abideth in him ought, must himself also walk even as he walk. Our walk ought to be effective.
Amen.
By our relationship with the Lord. That's a good gift. That gift of example. Is Christ your example? Jesus, Paul said, follow me. As I what? Follow Christ. You need to stop following me if I stop following Christ. So if my preaching and my living doesn't line up with Scripture, then you need to find you a new pastor.
Amen.
A new church.
Yes.
If I'm a womanizing fool and me and Cindy going through a divorce and she come to church with dark sunglasses on and she stopped coming and talk about we getting a divorce, then you need to find you a pastor that loves his wife.
Amen.
Because if the supernatural power of God is not working in the pastor's life, how can he preach it into the people's life?
Amen.
How can I preach to you the supernatural if the supernatural is not working in me?
Amen.
If I'm falling, and if my name is being spread all over town, what right do I have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you?
Amen.
And how can I preach it with power if the power isn't in me? I just think that's true.
Amen.
How about the gift of prayer? How about that? Anybody got that on their list this Christmas? The gift of prayer. The disciples saw how important prayer was to Christ because Christ was their hero, their example.
Mm-hmm.
And they seen how powerful prayer worked in his life. And if Christ had to pray,
mm-hmm.
and if Christ had a powerful, effective prayer life, how can we not ask examples of him as his children? Luke 11:1, disciples came to him and asked him, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples, and he said unto them, when you pray, when you pray, and that means often, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so on earth. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us.
Amen.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Prayer has always been important. Ezra, that great prophet we talked about in Sunday school some months back, Ezra wrote in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you guys know this one, he says, if my people, the people of God, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our land is sick. Our land needs a healing. And it's the people of God.
Amen.
The people of God. We talk about it all the time. We say judgment must begin in the house of God. Because the people of God, our prayer lives are not effectual and fervent as they should be.
Amen.
And we wonder why our children aren't being delivered. We wonder why our nephews and our nieces and our grandchildren and our parents aren't being delivered.
Yeah.
Check your prayer life. Check your prayer life. And I mean us. Because there's not one person in here will raise their hand and say, my prayer life is the best it can be. All of us fall short in that category. We can all pray with more power and expectancy. And when we look at our government, we look at the country we live in, and we look at the world we live in, and remember Paul wrote this when Nero was king.
Mm-hmm.
And Nero was going around cutting off the heads and using Christians as lamps and oil lamps at their party. They would cover Christians with pitch and light them on fire. Nero was evil. We talk about the government we have and George Bush and Obama and all that. But they were none of them was as evil as Nero was. And look what Paul told Timothy in Timothy 2:2. 1 Timothy 2:2, he said, I exhort you, therefore, first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for what? All men.
Mm-hmm.
For all men. You got to pray for folks you don't like. You know, I often hear folks in you know, if you're a Republican, you know, you blast the Democratic president, and if you're a Democratic church, you blast the Republican president. But that ain't what the Word of God say, Democrat or Republican. You ought to pray for all of them.
Amen.
And I've been in a whole lot of black churches. I don't remember ever hearing one say, we need to pray for the president when Bush was president.
Amen.
Say that amen again, Deacon. I've been in churches where the preacher called him the devil right over the pulpit.
Amen.
We need to pray for him. I don't care who the president is.
Amen.
And the worse he is, the more you ought to pray for him.
Yeah.
If that's what you believe. You need to pray for him. Paul didn't stop there and say, yeah, pray for kings and all those that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let me tell you something. The government has declared war against the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you haven't realized that yet, then you probably sleep.
Amen.
But the government has declared war on the church.
Amen.
Why? You can't say Jesus, but you can name any other religion. But you say Jesus.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus said they hated me. And they're going to hate you.
Amen.
We need to have effective prayer lives. We need to be powerful in prayer. And we need to be quick to pray. Everybody in here should be ready to pray. I pray, preach a long series on prayer. We ought to be warriors of prayer. Listen. I'm about to get to peace. I'm almost done. I'm about to get to peace. And Isaiah 26:3 says like this. He said, God will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee.
Mm-hmm.
Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Now, if you don't have peace today, all you have to do is ask yourself, who am I trusting in?
Amen.
Because if you trusted in yourself or a program, you're not going to have peace. You have to trust in the God of peace. He's called the God of peace. And you know what? The church ought to be full of peacemakers.
Yeah.
Peacemakers. Matthew 5:9 say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So if you're a child of God, you ought to be a peacemaker.
Amen.
Okay? And if somebody come to you with some mess, you ought to be a peacemaker.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Jesus said this. He said, peace I leave with you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, come on now. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. How does the world get peace? Give you some money.
Uh-huh.
That's right. The world gives you some money, pay your bills off. You ain't going to have peace. Because your bills are paid off. There's some folks in the world with no bills.
Amen.
There's no peace.
Amen.
Got a call. I got a call two days ago. My favorite brother-in-law. Love him to death.
Uh-huh.
I'll be in Columbus this week. His son. No peace.
Amen.
Hung himself. No peace. Suicide rate in America is so high. So high. Listen to your children.
Yeah.
Listen to your children. Listen to your co-workers. Listen to your friends.
Yeah.
Listen to them. Because see, Satan has a threefold job.
Mm-hmm.
To steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. You see, the world gives you peace by giving you stuff. But that's not the effective peace. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Troubled. Neither let it be afraid. How could Jesus say that? Because you put your peace in Him.
Amen.
Put your peace in Him. Paul says it like this. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You got a problem? Listen. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent. Not from the bottom, but from the top. God rent it from the top to the bottom. Mm-hmm. And by Him renting that veil, that gave us access. Before then, only the chief of the priests could go and make intercessions for man. But we don't have to do that anymore. We can go right to the throne room of God, and we can get right on our knees and pray to God.
Amen.
Because He's the God of peace. Listen, He said, let your request be made known unto God. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to call up a certain sister's prayer warrior or anything. It's good to share that. But you know what you need to do? Get on your knees and call out to God. I need you. I need you now. It says this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Young people, listen to me. This world wants you to destroy yourselves. There's a whole lot of ways to do it. There's so many traps out there now. And we sit back, some of us that are my age and older, and we look at what the world is doing. We look at our young people and say, My God, how are they going to even survive? They're going to survive knowing Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And you got to not only preach it to them, you got to live it before them.
Amen.
See, this new generation of believers, of young people coming into the church, they're focused and they understand, they're knowledgeable. And they see hypocrisy. They see it. And if it's not addressed, they'll walk away from it.
Amen.
And they walk into these churches and they see all this stuff going on. They see how these deacons is living. They see how the trustees is living. They see how the choir director is living and the choir members is living. And they say, well, listen, it's just a game.
Yeah.
It's just a form of godliness. See, these young people look for the real thing. And they see these phony pastors. They know it. They know it. Don't y'all know it, young people? Y'all know it.
Amen.
Y'all know it. They stay for a little while and go right on back out in the streets. Pray for peace. Ask for that gift. Just one or two more. How about this? Keep y'all here on Christmas. I'm sorry. How about the gift of discernment? How about asking for that one? How about say, I need the gift of discernment? You know what the gift of discernment is? The gift of judgment.
Amen.
The gift of judgment. No, we don't want to hear that. Yeah, you need that one. You need to be able to look at a situation through the spiritual eyes and see whether it's good or bad. You know, you don't need to be in a situation so long and then, whoa, I had never seen that coming. God's people aren't like that.
Amen.
You got the power of God working in you. You ought to have the gift of discernment, the gift of examination, or the gift of judgment. Remember back in the day, discrimination was bad?
Yeah.
We look at discrimination as a bad word. Discrimination isn't always a bad word. We ought to be the most discriminating people there is. Oh, we don't like to say that word. It's got such a bad connotation. We ought to be discriminating. Some people say, well, you know what? Margaret got good taste.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that word means.
Yeah.
Discernment. Good taste. You just ought not follow anything.
Amen.
You know, a young man or a young woman come to your life, you ought to know within 5 minutes whether you need to keep this relationship going. We've been dating for 3 years. For what? You ought to know it's in 5 minutes, but you ought to be dating for another 5 days.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Who's your daddy? I love the Lord with all my heart and soul. What church you go to? Those are the questions you ask on the first date. Don't bring them to the church, and then we gonna church gonna get them together. No, they ain't. I'm not making any sense.
Oh yeah.
Hey, are you hearing me? She wake up, look up. She wasn't asleep. She look up. That's two boys. Listen, you love the Lord. What are you doing, church? I go to church. What are you doing, church? I'm a junior usher. I sing in the choir. I read scripture. I pray. That's discernment.
Amen.
That's discernment. How about ministry? Ministry.
Yeah.
Y'all remember Dorcas? I'm getting. I'm there. Y'all remember Dorcas? Acts chapter 9. This is what God said about Dorcas. He said there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Mm-hmm. And this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. How about that? We got some Dorcases in here?
Amen.
That's just ministry. You know, you may not be called to be a preacher or an usher or a deacon or take the usher out. You could be an usher. But you may not be called to certain services. Everybody's not going to do the same thing. But you still going to do ministry. All of us. All of us. There's plenty of ministry to do. Plenty of ministry to do. Listen, I'm giving you a lot on Christmas Day. I'm going to let you guys go home and Christmas. Enjoy it with your other family. Some of you with your family. But think about what I said today.
Amen.
Think about the gift of prayer and the gift of love. And the gift of God's example, the gift of peace, the gift of love, mainly the gift of the Spirit. And when you say you love the Lord, and you say you have the Spirit of God working in you, tap into that power. And when adversity comes, challenges come, temptations come, tap into that power.
Amen.
Tap into that power. And I'm not just teaching you something I don't know. I tap into it all the time. As a pastor, there's temptations I face, there's adversities I face, there's situations I face where I couldn't face them without the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, on this great day, we know Jesus most likely wasn't born on December 25th, but Father, we celebrate His birth because He was born, Father God.
Amen.
That He came into this world from another place to die. And the only die. He came to die for our sins. And I'm so glad He did. I'm so glad He came to die for our sins.